Praise God. Well, we've been talking about faith for a few weeks, kind of interrupted a little bit last week, although we were talking about faithfulness. I want to talk a little bit more about faith this morning, but I just encourage us as I'm speaking. You know, Paul said something that he said, I don't want to just come to you and say a bunch of stuff. I want to come to you and have you experience the power of God. If you don't experience the power of God, we're missing the point. We could just go to school somewhere and just hear some information. But we want to experience the power of God and be transformed. How many are impressed? I was watching this this video recently about the, you know, it was right before they, well, they were still, well, let me just give you this real quick. I'm this close to this, okay? So my parents had a house that overlooks what's called South Park in Colorado. And it's like 20 miles long, and it's kind of a flat area. It's got mountains all around. It's really beautiful. But there's a part in that park where my grandfather went with my mom and her siblings, and they did a homestead there in this park, 20 miles from the closest town probably, and he thought he was going to raise potatoes. This is how close I am to this stuff, you know. It's like, and they, their water was running water when you run from the creek with a pail, you know. And the reason they couldn't stay there is because there wasn't enough water. But the floors were dirt. I mean, this is how close I am to this time when there wasn't water in the house. How powerful is being able to just turn the faucet, right? What does water do for us? Man, we get nourishment. We can drink it if you want to drink it. It's gone through the pipes, you know, and stuff. But what does it, what does it do? It cleans things, right? Man, we don't get clean without water, do we? Aren't you grateful for showers? And you know, in Africa, I went on this safari in Africa, and we got to the end of it in the middle of the night, and our shower was a pail, and we had to splash the water up on us, you know. Aren't you glad it just comes out of a tap, you know? How powerful is water and in our house? Is that right? So, when water cleans you, do you give yourself the praise and the glory for having turned the faucet? It's the water doing the cleaning, isn't it? Is that right? What did you do? You just activated it, all right? And who can do this? Elijah can do this now, can he? Yeah. He's going to be two. Is that right? Coming up here? Man, we got some June birthdays. I encourage you to get our app. We will let you know about some of these things. But, man, he's just 2 years old. And what can he do? He can activate the power of water inside the house to do all kinds of things. Is that right? Wash your clothes. All kinds of different things. I want to make a connection with this today because especially, how many have grown up in the church? You've been saved for quite a while. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's just wonderful. My dad was a pastor. I can't remember even not going to church. I mean, we go on vacation. We're going to church somewhere, you know. It's like that's what your life is about, right? But there's this deception that can come into even, especially when you've been in an organization for a while, you can begin to feel like things about God are determined by what you do. Now, here's the irony of this, is there is no faith without doing something. And yet, the enemy will take that. He'll make it like you have to be good enough. Does that make sense? And, or when you did something, it was because of how you did it. Does this make sense? And so, I just want to jump on this a little bit today because I want you all to know here today that there's nobody any better than you at receiving from God today. Nobody more capable, put it that way. Now, some people might be doing it more, but you have the same access as they do. Doesn't matter what gender you are, but how you look. Is that right? Doesn't matter how long you've been knowing the Lord. Because, again, sometimes, we can get kind of really set in how you do stuff, how you say it, how, some of these things. And we can actually, and this might be why we don't see more things taking place, even in the church, is because we're putting stipulations, qualifications on this. Does this make sense? So, let's just dive into this. Again, we've asked God to help us be the teacher today, all right? So let's say, God, show me something that's going to shake me up a little bit. Can we do that? Because I would rather be helped than just stay in a place that's not effective. Is that right? Amen? All right. Although y'all are in a place that's effective. So I'll just say that over to you too. Amen. So faith qualifications. And let's look at this. I want to say what it's not, first of all. According to what Jesus says. All right? And let's look at these. I'll just go through a list here. It's not perfection. It's not status. You don't have to come up to a certain, you don't have to be within the organization so long. And this is what religion does. It makes it to where somebody has to be a pillar in the church before they're a saint. Yeah. You have to be perfect in some way. And people can be elevated to that point, and you can say, well, if anything is going to get done by God, it's going to be through them and not me, because everybody knows me, right? Okay, I know you're probably perfect too, but it's not importance. It's not how important you've become. It's actually not a skill. You don't have to be really good at faith. Now, I know there's some things we want to get towards faith, but I think we have to get that it's God that's doing the work. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It's not higher education. You don't have to go to 4 years of Bible school. Right. That doesn't make you greater in faith. What faith is, it's only faith-activated heart belief in the source. So what is the action that takes place? It comes as a evidence that I believe that God can do it. Not something to try to get me to believe he'll do it. I'm not going to confess enough times and then I'll believe somehow. Or I'll get better than somebody else that isn't confessing as much as I am. Is that right? Are you with me? Yes. This is helpful stuff. Because it's real easy, and I've grown up in this. Man, there's some people that, man, you admire them. She talked about, I traveled with Brother Hagin too, and it's like, man, that's the man of faith. I'm never going to get there. Does that make sense? Yeah. And look what Jesus hates this kind of an attitude. Man, he flies in the face of it. Who was he most upset about? He was most upset about the religious people. For what reason? They thought they had a latch on God because of who they were. Everything they did right. Is that right? Now, I want to encourage you today. It's not about just living however you want to live. But when you believe in him, there's an access to him that is faith that has nothing to do with how good you think you are at the same time. It's kind of like a dichotomy. Would that be the word for it? Right? It's like, it's not about you, and yet it is about you. If your heart is in the place of belief. Can we see this? Okay, I'm going to go through some examples because Jesus kind of indicates what he's most impressed with faith from some examples of people that get healed. And we'll just go through, I've got five of them here. You want to be with me on this? Amen? I'm going to read through a couple of them, and then I'm just going to describe a couple of them here too, all right? Remember blind Bartimaeus? Story of blind Bartimaeus. I'm going to read through it here, but let me read my statement here first. Jesus was only apparently impressed and in awe of the faith demonstrated by those completely disqualified by religious tradition. You ever notice that before? He was never impressed by religious people, was he? He was mostly aggravated by them, right? So, first one. Example here was this blind man. And part of the thing with a blind person in the Jewish tradition was they're in that condition because of their disqualification of sin in somebody's life. If it wasn't them, it was their parents. It was somebody else. Is that right? Disqualified. Don't listen to that person. They're obviously disqualified from being godly or receiving anything from God. Right? Because they're blind. All right, let's read this story. Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout. What did he do? And why did he do this? It's because he believed what Jesus could do. Is that right? Amen. Did he believe in his shout? It wasn't the shout that he believed in. It was the source of his healing. Is that right? He didn't go home after he got done with this and develop a whole ministry of shouting. Because it wasn't about the shout. It was about the belief. The shout was the thing that came from the belief. Amen? Amen? Can you see that? Man, he started shouting. And listen what he says. Jesus, son of David, heal me of my blindness. Is that what he says? No, what does he say? Have mercy on me. Huh. So do you see the connection here? He sees that for him to be in a position, based upon all the tradition, of being able to receive, first of all, he has to have mercy. Is that right? Yeah. Now, here's the depths of his belief in Jesus, is that Jesus can give him mercy. Now, what he that's the first thing in his heart, because it's required for him to receive healing. You see this? And so he starts shouting out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And what is this doing to the religious people? Man, they are getting frustrated, aren't they? This man is disqualified. Who does he think he is? Shouting out to Jesus. And you know what else it makes him really mad about? This man actually believes that Jesus can give them him mercy. How preposterous is that? However you say that word. Forgive me, okay? Have mercy on me. All right. Right? So a lot of things are going on here. But does Bartimaeus give up? No. Why? Because he really believes that Jesus can give him mercy. And when he gets the mercy, he can get the healing. Is that right? But he doesn't even talk about the healing yet, does he? No, because he recognizes, have mercy. Have mercy. Everything else comes with, man, this is such a revelation, actually. That if we can get beyond this critical thing about disqualification, we want to disqualify people for things in our life, don't we? We want to set them apart because they don't qualify for some reason. And I'll tell you what, the mercies of God are new every morning, aren't they? Do you know what the praisers were singing when they went out to battle before all the Israelites? You know what they sang? What the praise was? It wasn't, yay, God's our victor. He's going to defeat our enemy before us. You know what it was? For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Because if you get the mercy of God, you remove the disqualification from everything that God's going to do for you. Is that right? Faith has to have a removal of disqualification. Amen? So here's the religious people piping up and giving their no sense worth. Right. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. So what does faith do? It yells for mercy. What does doubt, what does religion shout? Be quiet. Be quiet with that nonsense, right? Many of the people yelled at him, and he only shouted louder. Why? Because he really believed. And faith was the action of his mouth. Is that right? Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus heard him. He stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Jesus is talking to a blind man. Can you believe that? How preposterous. There you go. I had to say it again. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. And Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Isn't this interesting? Jesus actually asks him. He's been yelling out, have mercy on me. But there's a direct implication of there's something that's coming on the other side of this mercy that I want. Is that right? My rabbi, the blind man, said, I want to see. He didn't say, duh. He said, I want to see. What was that? That was a declaration of what he expected on the other side of mercy. Is that right? And Jesus said to him, go for your, for what? For my power has healed you? Well, his power did, but what did it require? The activation, the turning of the faucet of faith. Amen? Was it the shout itself that did it? No, it was the power of God. But it didn't get activated until it was let go with a shout. Is that right? There's a necessity of that. Was he disqualified because of sin? No. What did that shout of belief overtake? It overtook sin, overtook the power of sickness. Amen? Can you see how powerful this is? And this is what Jesus wants to do. What was Jesus impressed with? He said, your faith. Wow. And who's he talking to? Man, this man, he's disqualified by all religious counts, isn't he? But faith qualified him before Jesus. Amen? Amen? Go for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. All right, let's go to another one here. The shouts didn't heal Bartimaeus. They only activated what did. Can you see that? Amen? Now, here's what I want to get us to, because here's part of the problem with church and with religion. There's confessions that we do need to make, and what those confessions do is they realign our thoughts with what God has already promised us. Is that right? But we can formulate the way of faith all the time and make it to where, oh, somebody else did something, so I have to do that same thing. And we might do that, but it needs to come from a heart of belief. Not that the thing is going to get it, but the Redeemer's going to get it. I believe in him. I don't believe in the way to get it. Does that make sense? Our mouths have to get in line. But we don't get better than somebody at faith just by the way we're doing stuff. The Redeemer is the one that's doing it all. Amen? All right. Here's another one. It wasn't the friend's actions that healed him, but the power of God accessed by them. Mark 2:5. Seeing their face, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. He was looking at this paralyzed man, what he did, and he said, your faith has delivered you. But what did he say first? No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, what did he say? Your sins are forgiven. Now, the man was healed. And again, this is messing with the religious people because they love disqualification. They're the qualified people. They're not just the chosen people. They're the qualified ones. The only ones that really get stuff from God. Is that right? And what did Jesus do? Again, to this marked man, he said, your sins are forgiven. Isn't this cool? You know what? He's told us that we have the same power, that we can forgive people. Amen? Sometimes the first person that needs to be forgiven is ourselves. Is that right? Because the enemy wants to come and he wants to shout, shut up. You can't believe in God. Don't you know what you just did? Don't you know your failures? And God said, no. By the blood of Jesus, amen, I've removed this thing called disqualification. You're forgiven. Praise God. Amen. Let's look at this next one, Mark 5:34. It wasn't the action of touching, although touching is what activated the power. He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Your faith has made you well. Amen? Let's go to another one here. Matthew 15:21. Religion said no, but faith's request would not relent. Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." This is right after the woman with the issue of blood, is that right? That she said, "If I can just touch," and she touched, and her faith made her whole. But what is the common thing with all these people? They're people that are either Gentiles or they're disqualified by obvious sin. Is that right? And what is she asking for? She's just like the other man, isn't she? She says, "Have mercy on me." Connected with mercy is the answer, is the power of God. If God will have mercy on me, I will have his power. Amen? Man, God's wanting to speak this to us today. That what we need in him is sometimes is not just his power. We don't just go to his power. First of all, we go to the place of qualification in his presence, where his blood washes over the things that are wrong in us, and we're able to have confidence in his presence. Is that right? Because all things are possible if only you can believe. The greatest detriment to belief is disqualification. I haven't done enough stuff right. Amen? Look at this. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." You would have thought Jesus would have just been drawn to the need. That's a pretty good need, isn't it? He would have thought, "Oh man, I got to do this. I can deal with demons. Man, I can take care of them. This is a slam dunk. We'll go get this done," right? And he wouldn't even pay any attention to her. Why? He's demonstrating a religious approach. He's being a little bit snide, isn't he? I don't know, but I've always wondered on this. Why did he do this? You know what? I think when faith is beginning, it needs a little prodding. How much do you actually believe? How much are you going to actually stand in faith? Is this something that you're just playing around with, or do you really mean this? Because if you really mean it, you're not going to give up on the first request. Amen? Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." He said, you don't qualify. Can you see how this can be an issue? You don't qualify. I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. I can only talk to Israelites. But man, he talked to some other ones, didn't he? But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." How rude is that? That sounds like Jesus is not being what Jesus... You can't use that phrase on the "what would Jesus do" bracelet, right? You can't be going and talking, telling people they're dogs. Is that right? What was Jesus' purpose, though? His purpose was to drive in even deeper what he was fixing to do. Amen? Obviously, this woman is not qualified. Is that right? And according to religious perspectives, she's a dog. She replied, "That's true, Lord." Isn't this cool what she came back with? "That's true. I'm a dog. Ruff, ruff." But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. She said, "I still believe in you. Even though I'm unqualified, according to religious tradition, I still believe in you." Isn't that wonderful? There needs to be a pressing beyond this cloud of doubt that wants to come down over us and make us unqualified for some reason. Or to have that attitude about anybody else. Amen? This is the power of the blood of Jesus that we've celebrated this morning already. The power of the blood of Jesus takes away all the disqualifications and puts everybody on the same playing field. If you believe, all you have to do is receive. Amen? You don't get any higher than that. You don't get any lower than that. Amen? Can you see how we can say that there's nobody else more capable than you? Because all it takes is to lay your eyes on what he can do and say, I'm going to go for that. I'm not going to let it go no matter what. Amen? Even if I'm getting a perspective from religious sources that I'm unqualified for some reason, I believe in the goodness of my God, and I'm going to stand in the land of the living. Amen? This was cool. That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath our master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, whose faith? Wasn't Jesus' faith. It wasn't. Because faith isn't just power. Faith is the turning of the faucet. It's the activation. Amen? Jesus is the one that's bringing the deliverance, but faith is the activation of it. That's in our court, isn't it? And to have that activation, there has to be removal of disqualification. Does that make sense? Your request is granted, and her daughter was instantly healed. Isn't that cool? What had to go first? Disqualification. Amen? What had to go first? Activation. What if this woman would have just let Jesus pass her by? The power just passed her by. The ability just passed her by. Was it her disqualification that kept her from that? As long as it kept in her mind, as she allowed it to be a barrier, it did. But how did she bring that down? She said, no, I believe. I'm declaring that. And she, for every, it's like that verse in the New Testament where it says, casting down strongholds in every high thought that comes against us. Amen? How do you do that? You say, no, I believe. I believe. I'm going to receive. No matter what else, other evidence you come against me with. How many have a doctor's report today? I just got a doctor's report recently that it's amazing what a spiritual thing a doctor's report can be. It could come in and cause your spirit to be dismayed. And what is it doing? It's saying, I'm disqualified from the provision of healing. Right? That's what they can say. And as long as you let it be, it's going to keep you from saying the activation of faith of what God has given you in your life. Is that right? Can it keep you from that in itself? No, and the power's there and Jesus is going by and either you say, yeah, I believe what the world says. I'm disqualified, so I'm going to be quiet. No, I'm going to be Bartimaeus. I'm going to shout it. Amen? Because that's what faith does. It's not dissuaded by disqualification. Amen? It puts all of us on the same playing field. Praise God. You know, we're gifted in different ways. And there's some people I just really, it's like when you get to heaven, it's like, God, why'd you hand out that gift to them and me a little bit, but just really not nearly as much as them? And, you know, there's all that kind of stuff. And it's like that talents thing. Remember when Jesus gave the talents and he says, what are you going to do with them? And it's what we're doing with what we do have. Because he says, man, if I've given you anything, you're qualified. Right. And here's the thing with faith. We're believing in something all the time. We're activating something all the time. And what God has done, the greatest gift he's given us, more than being eloquent or being athletic or anything else, you know what he's given us? He's given us his faith. He's given us an ability to believe and act on it. And that overcomes any discrepancies of talent, of charisma. Amen? And he says, it's like from last week, I don't need you to be all those things. I just need you to be faithful. Amen. To what I've promised you and say, yeah, that's mine. I'm going to declare it. No matter how the world would disqualify me, I'm laying hold upon that. Amen? All right. All right, got one more for you. Are you good? Let's see. I don't want to be lying here. I might have a couple just real quick. All right. Are y'all awake?
Yes.
Punch your neighbor. Say, wake up. This is just for you, this next part. All the power for healing wasn't in the order, but in the activation of the source in faith. Now, this is the one that Jesus marveled over the most. And this guy was not a Jewish man, was he? He was a Gentile, another Gentile. I like this. It's like, God, you make it easy for all of us. We can all do this. Is that right? When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just do what? Say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. What's going on? He believes in Jesus' power to do it. Now, his activation of faith is a little bit different. He's not just yelling it out, but he's making a request in a way that he knows authority works. He says, if I can just get this man, I know he has authority. And I know that if he can just say it, that it will happen. Is that right? Isn't this cool? It's a little bit different approach, but it's so much understanding of the power of God. And here's what he's saying. If I can just get him to say it, it's already done. What do we have now? Jesus already said a whole bunch of stuff, didn't he? Amen? If we can lay a hold of what he's already said, man, there's some faith there. Is that right? All right. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. And I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He was impressed. He was in awe. Wouldn't that be cool? To have God say, wow. And then turn around and say it backwards. That's what Mark likes to say. Okay. He was impressed. Here's the word who became flesh. And he's impressed with who? Not a religious person. Not somebody that has it all together. Somebody that understands that if God himself can do something, all he needs is to get somebody to agree with that and declare it in authority. Amen? And it will happen. And he was in awe of that kind of faith. Yes. Amen? Amen? I haven't seen faith like this. And what I'm sure there were some religious people listening to this, and he just like dug it into him. You know, it's like, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Is that right? Amen. Of all the people that should be knowing God and having faith in God, it's not about how you do stuff. It's not about getting your ducks in a row. It's understanding the process of, can God do something? I believe he will, so I'm going to put into activation what I know to do that will activate that. Amen? And it's not hard. It's something we already have. The blind man just knew how to shout. Amen? This woman with the possessed daughter knew how to argue. She used that, right? This man used authority. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God will meet us wherever we're at? Whatever we can do, and I just encourage us today, you don't have to have a complete, what made this so wonderful, and Zach would understand it today, for this man is because he was brought up in this authority. And we can do a whole teaching on authority, and we can try to get in military minds, you know, we're not going to get there. We just need to believe and go where God's going to take us and what we can do. Amen? Amen. It will require our mouths. We can't just let Jesus go by and not say something about it. Amen. Amen? If there's something in our life that we, the reason why this was so activated is because it was life or death for people. God doesn't want to just be involved in life or death. He wants to be in life, involved in our whole life. He wants us to live by faith. Amen? Where we understand this process and we put it into place, and it can be working for us in everything. We don't have to take control and mess up things on our own at all. Is that right? Now Jesus gets real. He said, that was so much fun saying that thing about Israel. Wait, I got a little bit more to say about that. And he said, and I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west. What's he saying? You are not going to put God in a box and say he can only do things the way you say he's going to do them. Amen? Did you know, we prayed about this. Did you know that there's people in Iran today that are getting visions of Jesus? They're getting, you know, and then actually we know some men that are raising pastors up that barely know, have come to know the Lord, that are going in there and sharing Jesus. Because you know what? Where he's lifted up, he'll transform a heart. Amen? And there's no more Gentile in their perspective than somebody from that's an enemy like they are. Isn't this wonderful? God loves those who are dead set against him. And he's going to do everything he can to help them. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, you know what? It's not where you grew up. It's not what name you have. It's not who you're related to. It's not how precious you think you are. It's about how much you say, God said something, I believe it. And it's going to change what I'm saying. Amen? And I'm going to turn the faucet of the power of God in my life. I'm going to activate that faith. And it is, the power of God's going to do everything. It's never going to be about what I did. It's not how great I was in turning that faucet. No, I just activated it. Amen? But man, I'll tell you what, there's things in your life today that you just learn how to just let go of the power of God. Amen? Believe in it and actually have it activated by a turning from the world to acceptance of what God has said. Amen? Oh, we can begin to activate this in every way. Praise God. From east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of God. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ah! So this isn't like just kind of a nice option for us today. Sounds to me like it's a necessity. Amen? How many remember before seatbelts? My dad used to teach me how to drive on the highway when I was like 5, you know, sitting on his lap. Anybody experienced some of that? You know, I was like. But then became a law, man. If you don't have a seatbelt on, and you, well, your car won't drive anymore without a seatbelt on almost, right? It's no longer optional. It needs to get to this place with God. That what we got in him isn't just like an optional thing. And we just get frustrated when we're not walking in faith and experiencing the consequences for some reason. No, it's not just for some reason. It's because we chose something other than to believe in God. Is that right? And the faucet's there all the time. It's like coming into the house after playing with my dog and getting stinky and nasty and everything else, and you come into the house and say, I sure am frustrated. My wife has called me stinky, and she won't kiss me anymore, and it's everything's terrible. And you know what? The shower's right up there ready to fix everything. And all you need to do is go turn the faucet. Is that right? This is the way faith is. Stuff, we just have to apply the faith, activate the faith, and then allow it to wash over us. Amen? Is this good for you today? Matthew 17, 20. I've just got a couple more here. I just want to encourage us in this, though. That what you have right now is enough. You're sitting here right now. You've had enough. You got up and said, I want to go towards God today, enough to just come and be here today. And this is what Jesus says about. He says, And this was in the context. Remember, the disciples had tried to cast out this demon in this boy, and they said, "Why can't we do it?" And Jesus said, "Well, you don't have enough faith." Well, I thought we just said we're not disqualified. Well, you haven't learned how to activate it. Is that right? Because you have enough. Look, what he gives a little perspective on how much you need, right? He says, "I tell you the truth, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Is that right? Amen. This is how close we are. Amen? Good. If we could just quit looking at what's wrong and look at what the possibilities are, what God has said. And to begin to activate it. He said, just open your mouth just a little bit. You don't even have to open it any more than it would take to put a mustard seed in there, right? And activate some faith. Begin to declare what God says. Amen? Amen. Don't just put up with what the devil's putting on you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right. John 6:28. The what will naturally follow the heart of belief and will never be the why. I want to encourage us in this. God needs a what for us. That's what faith is. We're going to do something. Is that right? Faith without works is dead. So something's going to need to be there. But don't let the what become the object. Don't let the what become our God. Amen? I'm not about how to do stuff. I want to activate the one who will do the stuff. Is that right? So this was right after that, all the thousands were fed. And these men, he's got a crowd now. He's got some fans. He's got some followers, right? And so all these people, they're saying, "Man, I want to be able to multiply fish and bread too. Show me how to do that." It's about show me how to do it. And this is what I want to encourage us in today. God can do anything, but don't go trying to figure out how to manipulate him, to get him to do it. Believe he's going to do it, and he's going to say, "I'll show you what needs to be done." If you're really believing, you'll end up doing what needs to be done. Amen? Amen. It will be in your mouth. You'll be saying something. You're going to have to act like it. If I tell you to get off the ground when you're a lame person, you're going to need to jump up off the ground. Is that right? But don't let the what become your focus. Right? Right? They replied to him, "We want to perform works too. What should we do? Show us the formula for this, please." There's not a formula. And what does Jesus say in return? He says, Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." Ah. Man, this is wonderful, isn't it? Our belief. How do you know if you're believing? You're acting like it. Is that right? You'll know if somebody's believing. The reason why they call us believers is because we act like believers. Is that right? Not out of obligation, not out of condemnation, out of a heart that says, "I believe this, so this is how I act." Amen? So I want to encourage us today. This is not a condemnation for where we've been. This is an opportunity for where we can go. Amen? For the walk of faith, that's a walk in the Spirit. And I'll tell you what, every time, man, he said, if you just have a little bit, mountains will move before you. Praise God. Does this sound like the goodness of God for us? And it's not that far, is it? Amen? I encourage you. I've got some really good stuff in the app. I'm not going to go through all of it, but the notes for this are in the app, and there's some highlights, and you can go back. Don't let this just be something you sat here today and you let it just drift away. No way. What does it say? If you don't do something with it, it's like you were looking in a mirror and you forgot what you look like. How many can still remember what you look like? I remember myself as really dark hair and a build that was more, you know, I could go to the beach with. But then I look in the mirror. It's a different story. Thankfully, when we look in the mirror of the Word of God, when we look in what God's provided for us, it's something that enhances us. Amen? It's not something that makes us feel like we were different than we are. It shows us who we really are. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So I encourage you, don't let what we've received from God. We prayed for this. Did you believe God to show you something here today to help you? Let it be beyond what I've shared. Amen? But I encourage you, I have some tools that can help us in this. We have to live this because we're living in the world anyway, aren't we? We're living with all kinds of junk coming at us, aren't we? So we have to intentionally put ourselves in a place where the truth of God can overwhelm whatever else is trying to come at us. Amen? And we can be like that lady. You know, you can tell me about what a dog I am, but I know that you can do this for me. Amen? Is this right? We got to do something with this. I just want us to stand up this morning, though. I've got a prayer in there. You can pray. Man, we need to renew this. If there's going to be a revelation, I encourage you every day this week to pull this up, just go through just the overview on this and say, God, show me even more. Make this real in my life. Because if we're not walking by faith, what are we walking by? We're walking by sight. We're influenced by things that God has nothing to do with. We can't blame him for anything. Is that right? Okay, I want to just say some declarations, and this is very important for us today. How many have had some light shine? Some revelation come at us? Amen? It might be something you already had a light shine already, but it's good to have it turn on again. Amen? All right. I've got four things that I just want us to declare today together. And let's activate our faith when we do this. So say some stuff about ourselves. Amen? Because it's not just the power of God in your mind that makes the difference. It's when it gets into your mouth that the mountain moves. Is that right? If you believe in your heart and you have no doubt in your mind, then you can say. Amen? So we've dealt with some mind things. We've dealt with some heart things already today. Is that right? Let's say some stuff. Amen? Let's get it out in the air. Let's declare some things. All right? Let's say it together. I believe that God alone is the source of every good thing in my life. I do not rely on methods, effort, or qualifications. I place my faith in the one who heals, provides, and saves. The power is his, and I trust him. Amen? Let's do another one here. My faith opens the flow of God's power, but the glory belongs to him alone. Just as a hand opens the valve, my faith unlocks the miracle, but it is God who performs it. I will not boast in action, only in his goodness. Amen. Praise God. Let's do another one. Even a mustard seed of faith is enough when placed in the hands of a mighty God. I do not need perfection. Only belief. I put my trust in the source. Knowing nothing shall be impossible when I believe. All right. Okay, let's go back to the other view. Number four. I will not be disqualified by status, past, or what others say. I am qualified by faith. Like Bartimaeus, like the centurion, like the woman with the issue, I will reach for Jesus and believe. My need is not greater than his power.